Welcome to Church Media HQ. My name is Luke Clayton, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's episode. Now, this episode is actually brought to you by Church Media HQ Premium. There's a lot of church leaders out there that are really overwhelmed with the idea that they can't afford to hire a full-time graphic designer or even a part-time creative professional of any kind. And we understand the struggle, but I want to assure you that this is actually a hire you very likely never need to make. And how that's possible is through our service, Church Media HQ Premium. We offer you the most affordable full-service creative solution for your church. What do we mean by full service? That means that we are working for you. We're not just giving you access to, you know, some type of library of content or something like that. We're actually working for you. So you let us know what you need in terms of a design, a web page, even a video, and we get to work for you. You send us the requirements, we take it from there. And we also help you in the area of coaching. A lot of times you can really get stuck on just knowing what to do next, or you just feel super overwhelmed. You need a plan, you need a strategy, or maybe you just need someone to bounce ideas off of. With Church Media HQ Premium, you get unlimited access to priority coaching, where someone from our team or even myself meets with you as often as you need it, a one-to-one session to talk about your church's specific goals, needs, and struggles in the areas of your creative department. And again, this is just another benefit of Church Media HQ Premium. Now, that is just a couple things. There's really a lot more to it. Things like web hosting and support, free shipping on print orders, and really a bunch more benefits to come that we're just going to add as part of the membership. So you can sign up for Church Media HQ Premium. I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want you to actually realize that this is for you. So you could start for free at churchmediahq.com/premium, where you can start your free 30-day trial, no cost, no risk to you. And I really look forward to serving your church, helping your church in its creative department. My team and I really look forward to serving you in that way. And again, you can get started completely free, no cost to you. churchmediahq.com/premium. Sign up for your free 30-day trial, and I look forward to working with you soon. Now, today's episode features a good friend of mine. His name is Matt Turner, and he serves as a web media technology director at a church in Pennsylvania, a very large church in Pennsylvania, I might add. And he has a lot of experience in the media and tech side, and so he's got a lot of great insight, and I think you're going to learn a lot from him in today's episode. So let's get right to the conversation with Matt Turner.
Right. So the church needs to ask itself, does it want to be a part of future society, or does it just want to die?
Yeah, because the church has always been behind.
There's only two options.
Yeah. Well, the church has always been behind. I mean, it has always lagged behind in just about every area, but especially in these areas of technology, media, and now we've almost got a chance. Like the whole world, the church wasn't the only area affected. The whole world, every industry was turned upside down, and now the church has a chance to say, "Hey, we can lead the way in this new normal. We can lead the way, and we've got to do that. We've got to take advantage of that opportunity."
Right. Right. Yeah, I think a great example for like our ministry is, so the largest Easter Sunday we ever had at our ministry was 1,800 attenders.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so our COVID Easter Sunday, now obviously none of those attenders are on campus, but to the best that we can calculate, we had over 5,000 people watch our Easter services.
Yeah.
Because we're one of the only churches in our area that offered live streaming.
Wow. Well, yeah. I mean, I was going to say, I work for those churches, similar numbers. Yeah.
It's just anyone who's skeptical of it, you just need to sit down and talk with somebody for a while who does it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not even, we're to the point now because of COVID, you don't have to go to some church that you would think, you know, they're new evangelical or whatever, There's plenty of people that are conservative Baptists, even, that you can talk to that been there, done the t-shirt now, and, praising the Lord for it. We're one of them. And we can tell you, like, we've gone, so our average attendance we have somehow maintained. So with wow. with online plus on campus, our average attendance is between 1,100 and 1,200, and we have that every Sunday still. Wow. During the lockdown, since so many churches are so behind in all of this, our average attendance this is amazing. I'm even supposed to say this. Our average attendance during the lockdown was 2,200 people during on a Sunday morning.
Wow. Wow. That's
you know, like the numbers, you just can't argue with it. So do you want to be one of those churches that as the pastor you have to say, well, you know that church down the street, you're going to have to watch their live stream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you want to be that pastor? Or do you want the pastor that can say, when our community had nowhere else to turn, we were the light for them to turn to?
Mm-hmm.
And praising the Lord that we have a pastor at our church that had the foresight to allow us to do, invest the money in that we've had, what we've done. I remember the meeting, like he was, you know, just like anyone who doesn't understand technology, like when this all first started, he was just kind of like, just being, lack of a better word, he was kind of like a mess a little bit, you know, like,
yeah.
I'll never forget the meeting that like he had sent me and this other staff member. He had sent us all these emails of all this stuff. So we finally had an opportunity to have a face-to-face meeting. And we're just explaining to him like, well, we already do that. Well, we already do that. Well, we already do that. And then we told him what we want to do. And he goes, he literally had this moment. You could see it in his eyes. It like clicked. He was like you could almost see his eyes get wired. He goes, wait, so you mean that we're already doing more than what all these articles are recommending us to do? And you guys are wanting to do even more than that. And we were like, yeah, we want to compare ourselves to like, you know, the Elevation churches. Like that's what we're looking. We look at them for ideas for our live stream because all these other ideas, like your groups that you're in, like their ideas are, how do we just get ourselves on the internet? Our ideas are, how do we make the internet feel like you're at live church? You know, and that's where, in a world where you never know what's going to happen next with all this, there's one thing we're coming to the acceptation of now that the cat's out of the bag, that online church can be a great experience. You're going to have a lot of new converts and new people in your area that just may never darken the doors of your church.
Yeah.
That's how it is. You don't like that? Well, I mean, I don't know what to do for people who say that. Well, that's not how it should be. I don't know what to tell someone who their brain thinks like that, because you're trying to say, well, because it shouldn't be like that, everyone in my community, you should think like I do. The bottom line is they don't.
Yeah.
You have to start accepting that people don't think like you. So would you rather bring the teaching of the scriptures? Would you rather take the gospel of Jesus Christ to someone's front door or say, because you don't think like me, you're undeserving of it?
Yeah. Well, that has been
a real question.
That's a real question that I think, again, something that's always been there, but that the pandemic has brought to the forefront. Because, I have seen many pastors and just church people in general that they're just, it's again, it's almost like they long for those, you know, quote unquote, good old days. Right. You know, and they, oh, well, you know, I remember the days when nothing was open
they're
on
never
Sundays.
Coming back.
Well, yeah, you know, I remember the days when nothing was open on Sundays and, you know, when everybody went to church and, you know, and all that's great. And honestly, would that be amazing? Sure. In a utopian, Christian, perfect society, sure. But like you just said, that's not coming back. The Bible tells us that culture is going to get worse and worse. It tells us.
Right.
And it has done that.
Okay. This is where I'll probably end it here because, you know, I think you said we had 2 hours and we're at 3:40 now. So this is where I'll end. So my pastor actually just went through having COVID, which that there too, like if you as a pastor or you as a staff member have not had a pastor who's had it yet, everything changes after that happens. Once you've been touched as a church family by it, you know, everything changes, you know, because now it's like you have the understanding of what's actually happening. So, and because of the lockdowns and stuff and the way we've been operating as a church, like a lot of pastors have not had the opportunity to have come down with it yet. So now that as society is opening back up and more of general population is getting it, you're going to start thinking a little different anyways. He just had it. So I had the opportunity, actually almost all of our pastors had it at the same time, either it there's a really bad case of the flu going around, at least in our area right now in Pennsylvania, really, really bad flu. So they've all of our pastors except one either had the flu or they had COVID all at the same time. So I had the opportunity as the media guy to preach on Sunday night. And man, it disturbs me, the state of social media of Christians. Like, I hate to break it to everyone, but this is exactly how he said it would be. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're spending so much time fighting his prophecy than just going and doing his work. And I would like to submit this too. If we had control of the whole thing, anyone who says that culture or Hollywood or whatever took it from us, no. The church willingly gave this away. In the 1970s, the fastest growing church in the world was the conservative Christian church.
Yeah.
That was the fastest growing church in the world in the 1970s. What happened in the 1980s? Well, we discovered that just certain people aren't going to become conservative Christians. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we invented this thing called the moral majority, and we decide, well, let's ride that because we can get a lot of people on this. So we decided to ride a thing that's really not the Bible.
Yeah.
And we got lazy in our work, and we allowed culture to take siege.
Yeah, exactly.
We trusted politics with our sacred work that we're supposed to do. And I'm not speaking clergy too. I'm speaking the average everyday Christian, the work that we're all supposed to be doing. So I see all of this fighting for freedoms and rights and, you know, stolen elections and all this stuff. And I'm not saying don't stand up for what you believe. I'm not saying, you know, don't fight for your rights. But if we would all spend the same amount of time and fervor in telling others about how much Jesus loved them, I would like to submit that we wouldn't be where we are today.
Yeah. Yep. I have.
So as Christians, we need to ask ourselves, like, what is more important for the future of America? To spend the majority of my time and energy on social media yelling and screaming at people about them not agreeing with me? Or doing everything in my power to sharing Jesus Christ with people?
Yep. There's power in that. By the way, I never told you this. I did actually get a chance to go and listen to your sermon, and it was awesome. Honestly, Matt, it was good. I'm not just telling you that because we're on record here. I would tell you that on or off the mic here. It was good, and I would encourage anybody to go head over to their church's website there. Maybe we'll throw it in some show notes or something so you can look it up. It was good, and I think it was something about, you know, a familiarity. I can't remember the exact topic title, but you know, about how we're basically all just we're all really upset because our what was familiar to us has been completely uprooted. What was left of it is just completely been uprooted and gone. And what you're saying there is we spend more time complaining about, you know, how it shouldn't be than helping people, you know, understand the goodness of God and the gospel message. And I agree. That is a great note to kind of close out our conversation on, because everybody out there, church leaders or even just church people in general, that needs to be something that we really let sit in our hearts and we think about as we move ahead in this new year. So, well, Matt, it's been good having you. Anything else you want to share with us or any other words of wisdom? It really has been awesome to chat with you here.
No, man, I think this was. I'd love to do this with you again sometime. This was.
Oh yeah,
this
we will for
great.
Sure.
Man, we could spend a whole other 2 hours just talking about Apple products more.
We could. Honestly, we really could.
Right. So, but no. Thanks for having me today on the show. And anytime you want to have me back on, I'd love to be back on. And you know, final word of encouragement is just keep doing it, Pastor. Like, you know what. Whatever it is that, you know, whoever's watching this, whatever it is you're doing for the Lord, you know, just keep doing it, you know. Just remember this, that COVID, you know, whatever's going on in the world, nothing can take your joy, because your joy shouldn't be coming from, you know, your normalities or whatever. Your joy comes from Jesus.
Yep.
You know, so just keep that joy, keep that smile on your face and that skip in your step. He's coming back soon. And just keep at it, Pastor. Just keep at it. And people like Luke here are here to help you. And he's going to keep you. I know without Luke, I would be drowning. Media guys are really hard to find right now. Just being honest, I have job postings with a lot of Bible colleges right now, and I'm getting no returns on any of those job postings. So it's a tough, it's the season we need it the most. It's a tough season to find it. So, no, keep up your good work, Luke, and thank you for what you do for us, Luke. By the way, too, we're clients of Luke's. His company handles all of our major graphics. The minor stuff I handle as I have time. I also have a high school intern that he does stuff as well. But I would say the 90%, the lion's share of our graphic design that's taking place at our church comes from Must Increase. So I don't know what we'd do without you guys.
Well, hey, I appreciate the good word there, and we love working with you. And I really have. We've got to do this again sometime because we had no shorter words here. We've almost filled 2 hours, right. So it's been great. Hey, by the way, do you think you would ever get the AirPods Max? We never got to that one.
Oh my word! Okay, so if we want to end it out on
Apple. We just thought, hey, this would be a good note to end on. So spiritual, powerful, but you know what? Let's bring it back to Apple for just a minute.
So this is my final word on Apple. I will always have this deep love inside of me for Apple, but I will admit, like, you know, we all, like, some people like highly criticize this, like in a Christian's life being this way, but we all have like our non-spiritual mentors or idols, you know, like these guys that like we look up to, right? Like, the role models is a better word to put.
Of course,
like,
yeah.
I would definitely say in my life, like, even forming the way I tend to try to think and everything, Steve Jobs is one of my mentors. He really is. He is one of my non-spiritual mentors. Mm-hmm. I've hung on a lot of the words he has said. There's a lot of things we can apply to our lives. Oh, here's my dog. My dog's name. His name is Macintosh, and his registered name is Macintosh Stephen Jobs Turner.
His middle name is Steve Jobs. Oh,
yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, so that's why I love Apple, is because really what made me want to switch to Apple is the first time I heard him give a keynote. I had no Apple products, and it was when the MacBook was first released, so when they went Intel. And for whatever reason, I guess this was before they had like the, I guess it was before like internet streaming was really a big thing. They used to like partner with news agencies and they would be there for the events. So I remember watching it. My mom actually was having a medical procedure. It sticks in my mind so well. She was having a medical procedure and Fox News was on in the TV in the waiting room. And they were having the Apple event revealing the MacBook. And when I heard him speak, I'd always been an Apple like denier. Like, I was like, who would want something not standard? You know, because I'm like a PC builder or whatever. And when I heard him speak, I was like, I have to own a product made by that man. Like, I have to. Like, how do I not own something made by that guy? And man, I just I watched every single keynote he ever gave from that day on. All of them. I've seen all of them. I've gone back to watch some of them because of how, you know, he had this way of speaking and revealing things. It's like there's so much you can learn from his public presence that he had.
Yeah.
I feel like Apple's completely lost that. Oh, how in the world are headphones $550? You realize the best Bose headphones you can buy are $380?
Yeah.
You know, I will say, and even with their phones, like, my roots in technology are self-building, self-repairing. I'm very big in you would know this about me, Luke. I'm very big in open source. I always was. So literally I've gotten to a point, this is sad, and this is like a criticism of what Apple has done to society, and this is maybe a seed for another topic at another time, because we could definitely talk about this for a long time. The only reason, so like even today I watch a YouTube video on this phone that's all these really cool features. It's basically a phone made for developers. It runs all open source on it. If you don't know what I'm talking about, that's fine. The point I'm making here though is it's a product I'm extremely interested in, right? Extremely interested in. I will not buy this phone. Why? Because this company has enslaved me to a service.
Yeah.
And what has happened to American society? What has happened to me as a man where I literally won't buy a product because of another company service they provide?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that can't be healthy for a society, you know, and that's what Apple's doing. And I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I literally won't buy another product because for literally, this is how so psychosomatically it's affected my mind, the way Apple does stuff, their marketing and everything. I literally will not get rid of my iPhone for one sole reason, because I cannot text message a high resolution video to another person. Yeah. That feature of iMessage alone is what keeps me on Apple's platform.
Yeah. Well,
so that is my thing with these new AirPods. No, I will not buy them. Please don't stop vilifying this company. You know, I have AirPod Pros in here. I love them.
I do love AirPod Pros.
Too much money on them. At some point, we have to stop vilifying this company into ridiculousness. Since when is this worth $1,200?
Yeah.
No, but for some reason, I could only resell it for $150.
Yeah, it is interesting, and I mean that is kind of the argument, and we definitely don't have time to get into big tech in general. I mean, there is some potential issues there,
out of control, and at some point, consumers are going to have to stop being in marvel of the products and the services, and they're going to have to say, what's more important, some service you're giving me, or the state and the future of technology? Like, you're literally holding technology back on purpose so you can have a higher profit margin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like there's a problem there.
Yeah.
Whew, man, we could talk for 2 hours on that. So we need to end this, or else we're going.
Yeah, we need to wrap it up. Well, thanks for your. I wouldn't get the AirPods Max just because I don't care about over the ear headphones. I mean, that's just really nothing.
See, for me, being a live streamer, like doing my Twitch live stream, Twitch is. So here's my guilty pleasure. I'm a pretty avid video gamer.
Yes,
so
yes.
I've been my whole life. I'm a Call of Duty guy. If you don't know what that is, you're probably better off. So, but I liked you just because of our teenager at our church. Just FYI too, if you really want to learn how to connect with your teens at your church, buy a game console and you'll connect with them all the time. I 2-3 nights a week get to spend a couple hours in my evening, you know, just talking and fellowshipping with our teenagers, because that's where they are. They're online.
Yeah. Oh, wow. You know, so that is interesting. I never even thought about that. That is a cool angle.
One of the main reasons why I do it. I literally to this day because I get to spend my time with a bunch of our teens and get to know them better. And honestly, it's funny. Like, me and our children's pastor, he plays too. We joke about it. It's like Call of Duty time is mentorship time.
Yeah. It's a great excuse to play video games.
Oh, right. It is a great excuse to play video games. But yeah, even like my wife just reminded me, like when, like, even as they're adults now they're like, you know, as they graduate high school, it's like, now they're like our friends, you know?
Yeah.
And it's all because I play video games with them online, you know?
That's pretty awesome.
But I actually live stream. I'm not good enough to really live stream, but they get a kick out of it. Like, some of our teens who don't even play games, they'll get on and they'll jump on and watch my stream and listen to the rest of us talking on stream, just because that's what they do. If you don't know what Twitch is and you have a teenage kid, you should ask them what Twitch is. They probably know what it is and they probably are watching it. So that's a whole – oh, man, that needs to be – there's our next topic of conversation.
Yeah, there we go.
We'll continue Apple Talk. Apple Talk needs to be how we lead in whenever we do this.
Yes.
But next topic of conversation needs to be, what is your child doing online?
And there's a teaser for next time when I talk to Matt Turner. No, seriously, I'm going to shoot you my my scheduling link, and I want you to find a date for us.
I'd love to join you again, man. Anyway, thank you for the time, Luke. I appreciate you once again and what your company does for us. And until next time, it's time for me to sign off.
Thanks again for joining us for this episode, and don't forget to subscribe. You can check the show notes and video description to learn more about products and services from Church Media HQ, as well as details about our guests and content contributors. Speaking of the content, if you find it helpful, please take a moment to leave us a 5-star review and share this episode with other church leaders like you. Also, be sure to check out our newest show, Connection Culture. This is available on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Church Media HQ is a production of the Must Increase Network. The show is edited and produced by Bo Snyder. The creator and executive producer is myself, Luke Clayton. And until next time, I want to remind you to try something new. Why? You know why. because it's so much better to fail at trying the incredible than it is to succeed at simply doing the average. We'll see you next time right here on Church Media HQ.